It's 9 a.m. on June 21st, and welcome to our board meeting. Our regular board meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Toni Olson, Board President. We have joining us this morning virtually Commissioner Rebecca Wolf, Vice President, Commissioner Sid Logan, Secretary. To my right, we have John Carlo, CEO General Manager. Joe Fina, we thought we were going to miss you. Joe Fina, Assistant General Counsel. Melissa Collins, Commission and Executive Services Director. And Jenny Rich, Deputy Clerk of the Board. And Morgan Stolzer, Deputy Clerk of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present. A reminder, please mute your cell phones or other electronic devices. This session is for the General Manager CEO to study and discuss issues among ourselves, the board, and PUD staff. I will now turn it over to John Carlo.
Good morning, Commissioner Olson and Logan and Commissioner Wolf. It is summer. It actually feels like we may get a little sunshine and temperatures headed in the right direction. So this morning, I'm going to jump right to any questions the commission would have on our legislative report that was in the packet.
I have no questions, but I would like to share that actually John provided commissioners copies, but the Murray Inslee report is now out on the Lower Snake River Dam topic. I want to confirm that staff will engage within the guiding principles that the board approved. And the board approved earlier this year. Commissioners, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, that's how I remember it.
Thank you. And I can assume that staff will be at the table, will submit comments for Snohomish PUD. I believe that's on July 11th. And at some future, they will begin to provide the board with feedback. When the discussions get to a point where there's something to give us feedback on.
Yeah, exactly. We are, staff is studying the report in detail. We're coming up with our strategic plan for engagement, and we will keep the board apprised of that. And I would ask Kim if she wants to give up, Kim Johnston, to come up and give any more detail on the process that we're going through.
Good morning, Commissioners.
How are
you? You are correct. Good morning. You're correct that we will be engaging through the lens of those guiding principles. The posture will be the same as the principles themselves and the workshop that we presented to commission. And as you noted, that public comment period ends July 11th. So we're doing some internal work, our own analysis through the lens of those guiding principles. And that's what will drive the direction and the strategy.
That's consistent with what the board discussed. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, thank you, Kim. So first up is Lauren Way with our 2022 electric system.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Back on the government report, I have a question.
Sure.
I saw that Executive Summers put in his newsletter the fact that ARPA funds could potentially be used for helping our customers with their bills. And I'm pretty sure staff attended some of those public hearings. I'm curious how it's looking for the county to use some of the ARPA money on to help our customers.
Good question, Commissioner Logan. Brenda White is going to respond.
Good morning, Commissioners. Brenda White, Government Affairs. That's a really good question. The county just wrapped up the large meetings in the, each of the council districts, the information that they've gathered from those meetings with their constituents, they'll be part of the process as they look to how best monies are spent for those ARPA dollars. This is the remaining of the 160, I believe. This is the second half of it. Obviously, they talk about a larger bucket of dollars, but what we're looking at is the last half. And we too are engaging with the county as well for those dollars. So we'll see where that goes.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Commissioner Wolf. Just a comment that I was happy to see some good news on the federal level regarding delaying tariffs on the importation of solar modules, and also the president using the Defense Production Act to increase production of solar products.
Yep.
Thank you. Yeah, and good news on both topics.
Any other questions on this budget report?
Commissioner Logan?
I have no more questions. Thank you.
Oh, all right. And I have no questions.
Okay. So, Lauren Wade will give us an update on our 2022 electric system bond applications. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, commissioners. You get to run your PowerPoint. Good morning. Well, thank you for the opportunity to be here today to talk to you about our upcoming 2022 bond issuance. So I'm Lauren Way, Banking and Fiscal Coordinator and Deputy Treasurer here at the district. So we're here today to brief the board on our upcoming bond issuance. So we'll talk about how we got to where we are today, our tentative schedule and next steps, and our proposed size and structure of the issuance. So today's presentation is really just a briefing for the board. No action items today. However, we will be back on July 5th with some action items that we will be discussing here shortly. So as a little bit of background, I'd like to go all the way back to 2020 when the 2021 budget was approved and the five-year forecast was presented at that time. When those were presented, we had included three $60 million bond issuance placeholders in years 2021, 2022, and 2023. Those placeholders were very strategic in that they allow a lot of flexibility in our forecasting, but also a lot of flexibility in our bond issuance strategy. So it allowed us to analyze the market and either accelerate or postpone issuances depending on how favorable the market was or is. That strategy served us very well. As you know, we were able to accelerate a chunk of that funding into 2021 and issue a larger bond issue in 2021 of $100 million. After that issuance, the expectation at that time was that we would issue a smaller issuance, only one as opposed to two additional, between $60 and $80 million. And then at the end of last year, the 2022 budget was approved, which included a $60 million proposed issuance in this year. So as you are aware, we have several large projects, eligible capital projects that are currently happening at the district. So for the next 3 years, 2023 to 2025 period, we have approximately $342 million of bond eligible capital that these 2022 bond proceeds will be able to be allocated to. That $342 million does not include $159 million that is currently contained in the approved 2022 budget. So to fund a portion of that capital, we are planning to issue up to $75 million of tax-exempt electric revenue system or electric system revenue bonds. Those bonds will be fixed rate with a 30-year life. So in strategizing for this issuance, we discussed internally, met with the budget group, and also met with our advisors externally to analyze the market and also analyze our internal forecast and our cash flow needs to determine if this year would be the most advantageous time to enter the market. As we've seen, interest rates have been rising. However, relative to historical averages, they are still low. And so we came to the conclusion as a group internally and externally that this year, 2022, would be the most advantageous time for us to issue those bonds as opposed to postponing that funding into 2023. And of course, we also met with our budget group to plug a issuance up to $75 million into our five-year forecast to ensure that our debt service coverages and reserve balances are met or exceeded. So for our tentative schedule and next steps, over the last several weeks, we've been working internally with several groups to pull together our bond documents, including the preliminary official statement and bond supplemental resolution. Over the next week or so, we'll be working to button up those documents, and we'll be presenting those to the commission or delivering them to the commission for review next week, with the expectation that we come back to the commission at the July 5th meeting to request several levels of approval. So we would request that the commission approve the form of the bond purchase agreement, the form of the preliminary official statement, and then also approve the distribution of the preliminary official statement, which will allow us to market the bonds to our potential investors. At that time, we'll also be requesting that the commission delegate authority to the treasurer or CFO to execute the bond documents, including the bond purchase agreement, on the day of the sale. So we're currently scheduled to price bonds on approximately July 14th. We will then plan to come back to the commission at the subsequent meeting on July 19th to brief the board on the results of that sale. And then if all goes according to plan, we will be able to close the transaction on July 28th.
Thank you. Commissioner Logan, do you have any questions?
No, just a comment. I'm supportive of this strategy. We talked about this extensively during the budget process, and we've been updated several times, so I'm good to go.
Commissioner Wolf. Commissioner Wolf, do you have any questions?
No, I was muted again involuntarily. Yeah, I think it looks good, and I appreciate all the good work on this.
No, you know, Tony is always going to have a question, and I'm sure they're very easy. So we're shifting in terms of years. There won't be an issue next year. We're kind of moving it up.
Correct. So after we issued the 2021 bonds, because we had shifted some of that funding into 2021, at that time, our expectation was that we would only have one additional issuance as opposed to the three issuances that were originally planned. And so we were, you know, deciding, we were kind of leaving it up to the market and then also our cash flow needs and the forecast, how everything was looking as to whether we would issue those bonds either this year or next year. And considering the current market environment and rates still remaining low relative to historical averages, we decided that this year would be the best time to go out to market to issue those bonds.
And one other question, I think you've answered it, but typically when the market tanks, they go to public bonds, municipal and city bonds, is that correct? I mean, do we anticipate the issue? Well, we'll have a lot of folks interested.
The district is very marketable. We have, you know, We are a very well-rated utility, and we have, you know, our bonds are very environmentally friendly. So I think, you know, historically, we have always been successful in issuing our bonds. We're correct in that right now investors are kind of gravitating more toward fixed income securities. I think it's primarily on the treasury and agency side, but there is still demand in the municipal market. Additionally, we typically issue right around the summertime when there are more inflows coming into the market, because there are a lot of maturities in the June and July time period and coupon payments that occur at that time. So there's more cash to be reinvested. So it is an advantageous time to enter the market.
Great. And then I was confused on your last page of upcoming. You indicated that you said something about something would be done next week.
So we are working to wrap up the documents next week and deliver them to the commission on June 28th for review for approval at July.
I got mixed up on that. Thank you very much. I have no further questions.
Thank you, commissioners.
Thank you.
Excellent job, Lauren.
Thank you.
So next up is an update on our Connect Up program with Kevin Labor. Good morning, Kevin. Good job. Morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Kevin Labering. Kevin Labering, program manager for the Connect Up program. Here to provide the quarterly update for the commission. Last time we were here was March 22nd of this year. So the purpose of our presentation is to provide a progress update on the program for informational purposes and just to bring the commission up to date on the process. So our agenda this morning will be, we'll have a scheduled budget review, but we'll then also look at the implementation phase, which we're currently in right now. Through the implementation phase goes through the first quarter of 2023. So we'll talk about the activities related to that and progress to date. We'll also talk about the current state of the supply chain issue and mitigation. So we'll have an update on that and our next steps for the program. So just as a reminder, we shared this last time, but this is how our program is broken up into multiple projects with the AMI network infrastructure project led by Jeff Cullen, systems integration project being led by Doris Payne, meter data management system project being led by Joe Waddell, our meter deployment project being led by Travis Olson, test environment project by Nick Johnston, and our AMI technologies, our operational group being set up by Adam Peretti. The slide represents a high level schedule of our program. We're currently in the implementation phase, and as I mentioned, this phase goes through the first quarter of 2023. Key components of this phase include the blueprint and systems integration work, our building out our communications network, and preparing for our meter deployment. As far as our blueprinting work, that was a heavy lift project led by Doris Payne, did a great job. That was completed late last year, and we're currently working through our build and configuration phase of system integration in preparation for our testing. So that project had some delays. We had our system integrator integration was behind on some of their configuration work. Needed 8 more weeks to be able to complete that, and so we that subsequently moved out some of our milestones, including our go live date from December of 2022 to February of 2023 is now the plan. Minimal impact because really at that time we'll start testing with our initial meters. We won't have a lot of meters at that point, and so we're not seeing a big impact to our needed deployment because of that delay. And then as I noted here in red, meter deployment, we'll talk about supply chain issues in just a few minutes around that. As far as our budget update, the actual spend to date is $16.4 million, so we're currently trending under budget, $2.8 million under budget. So where does that come from? So a couple projects. One, our AMI network project. We're running about $1.4 million under right now. $1 million actually represents cost savings at this point, as our base station installations that we're well into right now, we're finding better ways to do this, more efficient ways for the installations. And so there's been a real cost savings there of about $1 million we're reaping in for this year. And then of $400,000 still left over, that is for, we'll be moving out to 2023. So these are cost delays. Because of the delays of some of our base stations, the 400D base stations that we talked about previously, special dual channel base station that was hit by supply chain matters, and we'll start receiving those in October. We'll be installing those through June of next year, and so those installation dollars we will be moving out for $400,000. Okay. Also, some other underspending in our MDMS systems integration project. We're currently underspending about $1 million in our internal labor area. Now, some of those dollars we anticipate needing in our complex testing phase that we have coming up the second half of this year. And so we expect some savings still, but we might have to utilize some of those savings for additional resources. Yeah. Also, there's about $450,000 in delayed milestones, as I mentioned earlier, with the integration having some of their milestones moved out. So those will be cost delays that we'll pay closely this year. So just went through a lot of information there. Any questions on the schedule, budget, or other matters so far?
Commissioner Logan, do you have any questions?
You know, this is impressive that we're below budget. With the supply chain challenges and inflation and costs going up, do we expect that to hurt this budget estimate, or are all our costs pretty much already been bid and those bids accepted?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So really the meter deployment project, we would see that project probably at the highest risk out of any of the projects for potential impact from its inflation or supply chain delays. That project, we're undergoing a budget review right now and looking at the fact, working with Travis Olson on this yesterday. And so he's anticipating potentially higher labor costs if that happens. And also there's some areas of savings that he's had in the project. So right now we're feeling like that project will still be within budget. We might have to tap into some of the savings that we had from the other projects, but overall as a program, we're still seeing this program being within budget.
That's impressive. Please thank your team for us.
Yes, we'll do.
Commissioner Wolf, do you have any questions?
Yes, I do have a question. When you say build communications network, what does that mean? Could you expound on that, please?
Yes. So the meter, we're installing over 350,000 meters throughout the district. Those meters will be talking to what are called communication base stations. So we have 141 of those that will be installed throughout the district. They're all within range of all the meters. Actually, we have duplicate coverage on most meters. And so those meters will talk to the base stations, the 141 that we have throughout the district. And then those base stations will then relay meter information back to the district systems.
Okay, so communications with the customers regarding the opt-out program, you're going to delay that until the deployment phase?
So the communications for the base stations is actually the data, the technical data itself. So energy that is used in a household will be relayed through those base stations. As far as there's two types of communication. There's the technical data communication, and then there's our communication with the customers. And so that is another aspect that we'll be talking about in just a few minutes. But regarding that, we will have communications around opt-out to our customers in a general letter that will be coming out later, we believe later this year. And then 90 days before installation, they'll also receive notification about an option for opt-out.
90 days?
Yes, 90 days before their meters are installed, yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I just need some clarification. Potential for minor delay, potential for going a little bit over in one area, but in terms, the board approved this project with a reserve.
Right.
So you're saying we might need to dip into it, but don't anticipate that was reserve it will cover.
Right. We are hoping to not have to tap into the
reserve. Oh, I like that.
Okay. that is our goal. And so, yeah, there was about, I think it was about a 10% reserve. And we're looking at trying not to use that the whole time. And so last savings that we're currently experiencing right now, utilizing those savings later on.
Well, the board, projects like this, and even some construction projects, the board awards it with a reserve. And I think that's realistic.
Yes, good. Yeah, we're hoping there's a lot of pressure, especially on our meter deployment.
Yeah.
So we continually watch that and look for ways to hopefully save ahead of time for that in case it's needed.
That's great.
Okay, good slide here. Okay, so let's talk about the progress within the project. Again, this slide just represents the different makeup of the overall program and how it's split into separate projects. So as far as our systems integration project, configuring, integrating, and testing our systems during the implementation phase. So our business process designs have been completed. We work with the district and business owners to figure out how do we want to best use these systems and how will they integrate into their current processes. So that work is complete. And so now our vendor, Utigration and PRC, they're working on configuring the software right now in preparations for our systems testing that will be starting in the next couple of weeks, actually. Systems integration projects also planning out their cutover strategy and detailed test planning for systems integration. Our test plans are being reviewed right now, being created, and we'll be starting in our systems integration test phase one, where our goal is by the end of June to start that out. And so other upcoming activities is to complete our technical specifications, wrap up our software build, and prepare our testers so they need to be trained. So prepare them for the test cases that they'll be executing during our testing. And so as far as risks and challenges within this project, I think the biggest one that was identified, Doris Payne is leading this project. She's done a fantastic job orchestrating hundreds of people and a very complex, most complex project I've ever seen. And she's done a great job with all aspects of it, working with the district staff and doing a great job. Our theme is no scope creep, and so she's doing a great job keeping that at bay too. As far as our new procedures and training our business, recent accomplishments, our change champions have been identified and testers have been identified from our various business process areas. We're putting together training curriculum from our training department, doing a great job with that, many training classes, checklists, so forth that are being created for that. We'll be wrapping up our curriculum in the third quarter of this year and start training our business users, both the testers and the larger groups that will be using these new systems within the district. As far as risks and challenges around training, probably the biggest one that's being tackled right now, and I think it's being tackled well, is with the pandemic, we have hybrid situation. Normally, a lot of the training that we would have would be in person, but with a lot of people working from home, we're trying to put together the right hybrid training model. Some training we will need to have on site, as we'll bring some of our vendors on site, and the personal interaction will prevail at that time. But we're, I think the program and, you know, the district's done pretty well with the hybrid approach. And so I think this risk is pretty minimal at this time. Oops, I skipped one. Okay, communicating our benefits, both to internal and external stakeholders. So far our communications team has completed the electric meter deployment communications plan. We had a lot of fun with John's Third Thursday series a couple months ago, and we were able to share what the program is doing and help to bring the rest of the district up to speed on the progress there. As I mentioned earlier, we have been installing these communication base stations, the 141 base stations throughout the district. And we've had a couple calls to our call center about, hey, what's this new antenna that's installed on the pole out here? And so we've beefed up our frequently asked questions for our customer service reps so that they're prepared for such calls. But we've only had a couple calls and really no negative impact there. As far as the upcoming activities, so water meter deployment, we'll also have a communications plan around them as most likely we will have more water meters available than electric meters. And so people could be getting their water meters ahead of time. And so we want a special communications for that too, just in case that we're not doing them at the same time at the same location. Also, communications team has been building out our external website and developing our communication tools that we'll be using during deployment, both to notify our customers and for our exchangers when they're on site to provide a leave behind flyer for the customers that receive the new meter. And as far as risks and challenges, the famous envelope issue, that one we're just monitoring really well, as we expect to use envelopes for our general communication and our 90-day letter at that time. However, if there is a problem with envelopes, we can always use a postcard type communication with them. As far as the AMI communications network deployment, so this is around the data that's being transferred from the meters to our base stations and then back to the district. Our network design, we're finalizing that. Even though we're building out our network right now, there's still a couple areas that we're finalizing right now, making sure that we have 100% coverage for all the meters that are out there. As far as construction, installing the base stations, we have 38 out of 141 base stations installed to date. Jeff Cullen is leading this project, and line department's just been fantastic to work with. And we're ahead of schedule right now on that, so we're really pleased with that. And this is the team that's installing more efficiently and saving money based on our early estimates of costs. And then around permitting, majority of our base station site permits have been issued, so there's four jurisdictions that still remain. Everett, Edmonds, Skagit County, and Washington State Department of Transportation. As far as upcoming activities, this project's kind of humming along. They'll continue to install two base stations per week, and we'll be wrapping up our design, our radio frequency design with Census over the next month. And as far as risks and challenges, I think early on in the project, we were seeing a couple items. One was around permitting, concerns about the lead time, and with COVID going on, there were much longer waits for permits to be issued. But I think the project's doing Jeff's project's doing a great job with these, and we just have four jurisdictions left, and so I think that risk has been mitigated really well by this project. Also, material lead time. So this is one of our supply chain matters. So with this one, we have the dual channel 400D base station. That's the one that Census was the power supply provider was having component supply chain issues. So there was a delay, a 1 year delay in that being delivered. So we're expecting those to first be delivered in October. We have a weekly call with Census, and right now they're still on schedule to start delivering those to us at that time. Also, some of our antennas and our ductile iron poles, those have been items that have had longer lead times to them, but our current forecasts are working for us right now, so we should remain on schedule. RMI Technologies Group. So this is our operational group that, as we went around a couple years ago and visited with various utilities, one of the number one things they recommended was for us to put together an operational team to support all of the systems ahead of time. And so we took that to heart. Adam Peretti is leading this group and has a full staff set up. They're already very busy supporting our upcoming testing efforts. They're preparing data so we have to simulate meter data. We only have our meter farm, we have a couple dozen meters installed, and so how do you test a lot of meters at the same time? And so we have to simulate that data. And so anyway, Adam's team has been great setting up that tool to simulate that meter data during our systems integration testing. They continue to support the ongoing installations of our base stations, and they signed off one component of our overall system is our head-end system. The head-end system receives all the data from our base station, so it's collecting a lot of information. And so our production head-end system is now online and signed off. So that component's done. And also, Adam's team has performed our first meter and base station firmware upgrades. And so you can remotely upgrade the software, the firmware on a meter or on a base station remotely, which is great, saves us a lot of time. So they've undergone this exercise already, it worked well. And so as we have future upgrades, they already have that experience. And so it's nice to have that under them. That's great. As far as upcoming activities, continuing to prepare for our systems integration testing, baselining our meter performance and our head-end system performance. So Adam's team has proactively measured the performance parameters of our meters and of our head-end system. And so when we perform future upgrades to our system, they can compare that baseline number and see, okay, did that impact our performance or it or keep it the same. So some good proactive things that they're doing right there. And then as far as risks and challenges, I think this team's their biggest risk and challenge was around all the new processes that needed to be set up for an operational team, and they're well ahead of that right now. Any questions so far? I have a couple more of these slides and we'll talk about more supply chain matters.
Commissioner Wolf, questions?
No, thank you.
Commissioner Logan?
I have no questions at this time. Thank you.
Okay.
I don't have any.
All right. Thanks. Great. So developing our meter installation plan, ordering our equipment. So Travis Olson is our project manager, doing a great job leading this project. This one's will obviously get much busier over the next several years as we start installing the meters. And so the main system they have is this work order management system, which helps them in the deployment of meter, keeps track of where the meter's installed, when it was installed, who installed it. And so that's, that system is now, the application is now installed, and we're currently testing it. As a recently, Travis ordered 50,000 meters from Aclara, and so this is part of our supply chain risk mitigation plan. Aclara meters will work for us also. We're currently have a larger order for Census meters. However, both meters will perform the same for us. The only problem is they both use the same communication microprocessor. And so that's really what our delay is for the meters right now, is that microprocessor chip. The chip that's used in the auto industry, and so there's a lot of pull for that over in the auto industry. It's making it hard for us to get those chips for the meters. However, a Claret meter does have other unique components, and so there's a chance it could become available before the Census meters. And so we wanted to put an order in for those just in case they do become available first. We'll start installing those first if they do. And Travis's team also completed 5 more first article testing. Completed testing 5 more meters around first article testing. And this is just saying, okay, I want this meter to be configured in a certain way. The vendor configures it, we test it, make sure it's the way we want it, and then that's kind of our standard for that meter for future ones that we order. As far as upcoming activities, final review of our Aclara warehouse plan will be taking place next quarter. Receive training around our workflow management system and preparing for our upcoming systems integration testing. Also, I noted there for upcoming activities in October, that's when we will finalize our hiring and training plans and our deployment strategy. As I'll mention in a minute, we'll receive an update from Census around meter deliveries for the first quarter. As far as supply chain matters, we did receive an update from Census in April. They get a quarterly update for the following quarter for meter deliveries from their suppliers. And so for the April update, which we forecast third quarter delivery, there was still no change, which is kind of what they thought would happen. Very few meters will be delivered to Census at that time. However, we will receive an update in July and in October. The Census is expecting from what their sense is around this, that the meters will then start, deliveries will start going up at that time. So we're anticipating that July update, hoping that we're seeing an uptick in meter delivery. So what are some of the things that we can do in the meantime? We mentioned a few of them last time around, how to mitigate these delays. So we ordered, we were encouraged by Census to put in our full order of 2023 meters. So I think we had about 200,000 meters on order with Census right now, and it puts us in the queue for those. So when they do become available, we're kind of towards the top of the queue around that. Mentioned also that we were investigating other potential meters that we could install, and so that Aclara meter that I mentioned earlier is one of our mitigation steps that we are taking. Census is also, as you can understand, once these microprocessor chips do become available, then they have a lot of utilities that are just hungry for meters. And so when they do become available, they're proactively building up their factories, their assembly factories right now, so that when you get the microprocessor chips, they can produce many more meters than they normally would. So also around, a couple of minutes, I just wanted to share. And all right, so right now What you know, Census does have a commitment with us to deliver a small portion of meters the first quarter of 2023. And what that means is we will use those meters for our friends and family deployment, somewhere between 20, 40, 60 meters that we'll install with people that we know that are understandable that, hey, we might have to do some testing here. We will have those meters, and so we'll take advantage of that time, first quarter of 2023, to do further testing of our meters, our processes, and make sure we've got everything in place so that when meters do show up, which we're anticipating better deliveries second, third quarter of 2023 for the project. But we'll have all that experience under our belt already, and hopefully it will actually help prevent issues from in the future.
Commissioner Olson, Commissioner Wolf has a question.
Commissioner Wolf.
Yes, just if you could remind me, I know Census manufactures the meters, both water and electric, is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, and so they are the supplier, but are they also, and I'm sorry that I've forgotten this, but are they also, just a minute, are they also the ones who receive the data? And
No, we receive the data. So we receive the data from the head end system. It is a cloud system.
That's right. Yeah.
That they help build for us, but we receive the data.
Okay. And do they have access to all the data as well as we do?
They would if it was needed. They just, because they're helping to manage the cloud system, they would need it. They would be able to have access, but they're not. We're the ones who really have the access to that data, and the data that's being translated. There's no personal identifiable information that's being transmitted. It's purely usage data that will be transferred.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you bet.
Since we've had a few, Commissioner Wolf had some questions, I'll ask Commissioner Logan.
I have no questions right now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So what's this mean from, there is a chance that meter installations can go into 2025 since we're getting a later start of our installations. So to help mitigate, I mentioned how we're mitigating this with the current savings within the project. And so we're undergoing an exercise right now just to confirm that we will still be within our overall project budget, even if we go into 2025. And right now it's still, from what I've seen so far, it's still looking good for that. Trying to go to the next slide here. Okay, so our next steps, our next commission quarterly update will be September 2022. Our program next steps include a customer service regulations update. So Tim Hepp will be back in July 19th commission meeting to talk about the opt-out provisions. So go through all the details on that. We'll also continue within the program to proactively monitor and update our meter deployment plans based on supply chain forecasts, especially that October forecast that we receive. And we'll continue to make progress on our communications network, building out our base stations throughout the district. And that will be completed with that middle of 2023, schedule as I mentioned. And also we'll continue preparing our supporting systems during our integration build and testing that will take place over the next half of this year, so like 6 months. All right, so are there any other questions the commission would like to ask?
Commissioner Wolf?
No, I have no more. Thank you very much.
Commissioner Logan?
You know, I just have a comment. I just returned from the APPA conference and then earlier the NWPPA conference, and Both of them had sessions about electric cars and what utilities need to do to really provide the best service for the customers and for the utility. And really, AMI is the key. And so I'm so excited about this, because we had another presentation about the extremely large construction projects that General Motors is doing to build electric cars and batteries and stuff. So it's coming, and I'm glad. I think we're doing this just in time. So thank you so much for the presentation.
You're welcome.
I do have a few questions.
Yes.
And I doodled in shorthand, so please be patient with me. Well, first of all, it is commendable of you and the team that you're working very hard to stay within the base budget. But Tony appreciates that. And that it looks like you're really on top of managing the timeline as well, even with all the obstacles that have been thrown at you, which have been pretty, 1 in 200 years, I mean, it's been pretty significant. So that's been something that has been on my mind. And I also want to say, I know there was a little bit about communications with regard to the system. There was also a mention of communications with regard reaching out to those that will be receiving the meters.
Yes.
And I just want to reinforce, I know you're doing a great job, but Tony, I think it's so critical in terms of acceptance of the program. And I've always encouraged, and I continue to encourage, to put special emphasis in that area. Let's see, my next question. You said you're going to have your family and friends test group.
Right.
Are those going to generally be folks that really have the technical knowledge of how it works?
Yes, I think it's most likely going to be some, mostly employees.
That's right.
And so they'll have an understanding of the program, and that there could be, we might do some testing, and so we'll coordinate that ahead with them. So they should have a good understanding of what we're testing.
I think that's a great idea. Commissioner Wolf?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wondered, Kevin, are you still expecting the replacement of these meters to happen after about 15 years, roughly?
Right now, the industry is stating 20 years.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. So I was looking at that on the internet, and they're still saying 15, but I suppose it will vary quite a bit from meter to meter, depending on how they're cared for and so forth.
Yeah, I think the average is 20 is what they're saying, but there could, with an average, there's a bell curve. So there could be some several years before, several years after.
And so hypothetically, if they had to be replaced in 15 years, have you folks calculated the cost of replacement?
We've been using the 20-year as our within the business case. We have not looked at 15 years, but we can look at that. That would be helpful.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I prefer that you stay within the schedule that you have and the time frame. Yeah. I have a couple more.
Sure.
I didn't understand in terms of the different manufacturers. I thought at one point you said that those two different types of meters would be deployed, but then you said that that the second manufacturer will be needed only if the census meters don't come through at the time you want them.
I probably wasn't clear on that. So initially we have mostly census meters on order, and we went back a year ago, and with the plan to have some Aclara meters in that batch. We decided, as that mitigation plan, that let's increase our Aclara order so that if they do become available earlier, then we can use those. Problem is they both use the same communication chip, and so they're both dependent upon that. But they do have unique, a number of unique components too within each of those meters. So might get that, once we get the communication chip, Claire could still come out ahead of time.
Thank you for clarifying that for me. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That was that one. I think there was a 6. Oh, no, I covered them all.
Commissioner Logan has a question.
Commissioner Logan.
Yeah, just a statement. I don't see a need to recalculate the economics based on a 15-year life. If the average life is 20, that would be the appropriate life to use for the economics. Because, I mean, although some meters may fail early, some meters may fail later than 20 years. And so I think the average is the appropriate.
Okay.
Very, very good presentation.
Thank you very much.
Excellent job, Kevin. So that concludes our presentation.
Our morning session?
Yep.
Well, it is 9:55, and the board will recess into executive session to discuss current and potential litigation under the terms set forth in the Open Public Meetings Act. It is anticipated the executive session will last approximately 30 minutes with no public comments following the executive session. Our regular meeting will reconvene in the commission meeting room at 1:30 p.m. Thank you.